Welcome to the Sacred Vein Podcast. My name is Kasia Rashval. Let's talk about authentic self-expression some more and how often our most authentic voice comes out when we're actually having a meltdown. Now, one of the reasons that I often find myself editing myself is because I feel like unless I have some science or some, evidence to back up what it is that I'm talking about, it's not worth saying. Now, that's an old belief system. I grew up very much in a science-minded background, and both my parents are engineers. It's important to have evidence. It's important to have clout behind our opinions, what we believe, right? Or is it? I think we can't discount science. We can't discount the clout of, concrete knowledge. But there's also something to be said for experience and our own personal truth. And now our own personal truth is not opinion, right? It's not just us wanting to say whatever it is we want to say especially if the truth that we hold is offensive or isn't aligned in some way. And see, even now, as I'm saying this thing, I want to edit myself. I feel like I'm not explaining this concept very well, but I'm going to keep going because me restarting this podcast and really picking up these episodes regularly again after a period of silence was to discover what it is that I have to say and how I say it without hiding behind what I would perceive to be eloquence or science or the logic and the precision of an explanation of something. Because the truth is, there are amazing podcasts out there about the science of things and about the hard or the logical metric truth of things. One of my favorite podcasts that I love so much is the Huberman Lab. Dr. Andrew Huberman talks so eloquently about the processes, the physiology, the body, even he's bringing psychology into it with some guest speakers. And I love that. I love all that stuff. But not all messages have to have that clout behind them, right? We can equally find our truth in the experiences we have and the personal philosophies that we choose to live by, or, some of the more, I guess, esoteric or spiritual philosophies that we choose to orient to, and how those inform who we are and why we're here and what we choose to do with that. So recently, I was talking with my coach, who I started working with specifically for unleashing my own authentic self-expression. When I look at my numerology and all that stuff, I know that that is part of the reason why I'm here, why I took on this body, why I took on this life, my mission, vision, all of that stuff is wrapped up in this idea of trusting my own intuition, trusting my own spiritual connection, and walking that life, walking that firmly on earth, right? Being embodied in the physical, but also very strongly connected to the spiritual, to that that part of me that I can't see or feel or touch really, right? But I know it's there. And so we were talking about this, and the reason I went silent is because I felt like I was so disconnected from why I'm here and what I'm doing. I wanted to just stop doing all the things to really find that place of being inside me. It wasn't easy, right? It was meltdown after meltdown. Often that's how it happens. That seems to be part of my process. At least it has been until now. I really don't like talking about this, but I have a point, I promise. And so, she asked me a bunch of questions. And of course, I love powerful questions. I think they are one of the most powerful tools we have, that self-inquiry, right? To really get inside ourselves. And so she asked me something like, okay, well, you said you're ready to say things. What is it that you want to say? And I just kind of went off and I said, I want to share the importance of the body and how important our own health is to our intuition. I want to say that if you just leave enough room to start to believe in yourself, then things can change, right? If you do the work, no matter what the work is. If you believe that you can, then you can. And so I went off on this diatribe and I said a whole bunch of things. Thankfully, I have that conversation recorded so I can go back to it and catch that, those nuggets of gold. But it's not so much about, you know, what I said or what my mission is. What really struck me after, as I've been unpacking that session, is that when I let loose in what I thought, what I would call was like a meltdown moment, a diatribe moment where I just like went off, that's when the gold came out. And the reason the gold came out, and I didn't hear it the first time when I was sort of diatribing out, right? But then she said, did you hear that? And I said, what? I didn't hear it. I don't know. What am I doing here? And she literally repeated back to me my big mission or my big desire for what I want to bring to this world. And I thought, huh, yeah, when you say that back to me and when I hear that, that sounds like I really know what I want and I really know why I'm here. I just think I don't because I'm so busy editing myself most of the time, right? Hence this whole experiment, this whole messy experiment in authentic self-expression and really me working my way through the mess and share that journey. I'm not good at that. I haven't been. I do it privately with friends, with you know, family members I trust, with practitioners that I trust, but never with my audience because I think I have to show up a certain way. And that's not true. It is, you know, it is a truth, but it is not the truth, right? So it amazed me that I was able to reconnect to my mission, like my big vision, my big desire for why I believe my soul took on this body and took on this life during like what I would term a meltdown moment, a tantrum moment, where I wasn't like screaming and yelling, please don't get the wrong idea. I wasn't. I was just like sort of exasperated, you know, because I had asked myself that question so many times, like, what is it that I want to say? And it's, I think, not as impactful to ask yourself some of these questions if you're on your own. Like sometimes it is. Sometimes self-inquiry is very impactful, but if you're really good at not editing, and the fact that I was in conversation with my coach in this instance, I felt held. I felt like I was in a safe container for myself to just express, right? So I reconnected to why I'm here in that moment of exasperation because I just let loose. And since then, I've been really, I have felt very volatile in my own emotions, in my own orientation to what's true, because I also have this very strong part that's still there that loves to be the victim. And I don't like using that word, but I don't know what other word to use, but that loves to orient to the old story that I don't know, that I don't have clarity, that I just, you know, need to work harder or dig deeper, or like, for God's sakes, don't say anything because what if something that I say sounds dumb, right? What if someone doesn't agree with me? What if someone doesn't like me? Oh no, what would happen then? So there is also that part. And thankfully at this point in my journey, you know, because of the training I have, the work that I have done, I know what to do about that part. Now that I've really identified it and been able to connect to the fact that it's a scared part of me, right? And so the reason I have felt volatile is because of, you know, these two truths have risen up, the excitement of like, oh my gosh, I actually know. And I do have that clarity. And the old story of, well, it's not safe to talk about that stuff, right? So being cognizant of these old patterns is really how I'm handling this this volatile period right now of these few days, and working with that part of me that is really searching and seeking and needing stability and security and safety in this excitement that the rest of me is feeling. So those old parts of us, we can't just like, the worst thing we can do is bypass them, pretend they're not there, or try to change them against their will. So this isn't a lesson on internal family systems, right? Or, you know, there's other therapies like parts integration from NLP that I love that allow us to integrate these parts back into ourselves. This isn't a lesson on that, but it's more like these parts of us are afraid. What if it doesn't work again? Right? What if I fail? What if I look stupid? What if? And we can't just ignore that. We don't want to enable it. And so it's a fine line conversation with these parts of ourselves so that we can feel heard, feel witnessed and seen and held in safety, instead of feeling like we have to shut that part of ourselves down or buy into it. Right. So if you don't know how to do that for yourself, then definitely seek out a healer, a therapist, a coach who is well-versed in that. That's something that I love doing. Having the experience and the training allows me to do that for myself. It is also very, like, probably even more impactful to have someone else do that with you. So reach out if you need help. But these parts of us rely on the familiar feelings, right? The familiar chemicals of emotion, the molecules of emotion that these old feelings, these old patterns continue to release into our body. And there's a whole bunch of science behind that, you know, the chemical addictions that we have to certain emotions, to certain states of being, which is why it's so easy to revert back to old ways of being if we don't do the healing and the integration work to orient to a new narrative, right? And the familiarity of these old patterns inside my own body is what I'm watching, what I'm observing and navigating. And it is not like a 5-minute one and done process. Healing can be very quick and very powerful if we are focused and if we are willing and able and ready and wanting. Those four things, five things: focus, readiness, willingness, ability, and desire, right? Have to be present. And then of course the decision. And sometimes you have to make that decision and make that choice over and over and over again. So in the past, feeling like I can't do it and I'm not good enough and I'm not the one to say these things is what kept me safe, what felt safe, right? It's given me a familiar feeling to feel that because I know I've survived it. And so I know that I'm safe in that. But this is the whole messy side of self-expression, because even though it's safe, it's not what I want. I don't want to hide. I'm here to do, you know, to fulfill a mission, to be a light in this world. That doesn't mean I want to be on the world stage. Maybe someday, I don't know. Maybe I just want, you know, I haven't quite decided the level of impact that I want to have. Right now, it just feels safe to say these things on my podcast and to the audience that I already have, and to do this experiment, to play with this mess in a way that, you know, is a little bit edgy, a little bit raw, a little bit out there, and kind of see where it lands, see what kind of conversation comes back from me doing this. And this is that messy side of self-expression, allowing it to spill out in a safe container, allowing ourselves to go on a diatribe, right? To take that freight train of expression and say a bunch of things when we're in a safe container, have someone hear us, and then express back to us what they heard, and have us hear ourselves through that process, right? It's really, really helpful. What that allowed me to do is really find the golden thread of my self-expression, to remember that I actually know why I'm here and what I want to do and what my big mission and vision and desire is. And I don't have it, you know, written down in a beautiful little statement that I could like put on a plaque in my office. I don't have that. I don't know that that's as important. I will probably create something like that, at least in my journal, so I can read it. But it's not the end result so much that you're looking for. It's the fact that you know better than you think you do. Okay. So that's the first thing I wanted to share is the messiness of the self-expression in a safe space really allows you to like unleash the gold if you're willing, right? The second part then is that what happens after when you realize, wow, I actually know what I'm noticing. And this is often what happens after we have a big like aha moment or in the threshold of a big transformation or a big breakthrough is our old identity begins to clash with our new identity, right? The old identity of the familiar, what I just talked about, begins to push and shove a little bit and feel sandpapery with the new identity of who we are becoming as a result of that breakthrough. And this is where, again, the choice is up to us. Where are we going to choose to orient? The old identity that feels safe and familiar, or the new one that we don't fully understand or know yet, right? We don't know exactly who we are when we allow ourselves to know our truth, but we know enough that it's exciting often. It's like, ooh, this is cool. I wonder what would happen if I allowed myself to play in this. And so trusting that the new will unfold is if you allow it to be enough, if you give yourself permission to trust that if you follow your truth, you will continue to unfold and evolve that old identity. And then the old one will no longer be needed, right? But in the beginning, especially as we gain momentum towards that new being, it can be crunchy. And I'm finding that it is very crunchy. So our choice to orient or reorient towards the new identity, even though you don't fully know how to be it yet, is okay. It's okay that it feels weird. It will become a familiar feeling if you allow it to be present, right? Enough. The key is to choose it and orient towards it in your body, not just in your mind. And this is so important. If you just go through the motions mechanically, being like, yeah, I know what I want. I know my mission, right? You even might read it. You read the words in your journal. You might even do gratitude or whatever it is. If all you're doing is a mental exercise, like going through the mechanical mental motions of that orientation, it's not going to work as well or as quickly as if you do it with your entire body. It has to be an embodied choice. And again, that's not always easy because it takes a moment sometimes to calm the mind, to get into the body, to connect with every part of you, right? There's many different ways of doing it: breathwork, meditation, yoga, walking, gardening, whatever it is for you, but really getting into your body. That's one of the things I teach, actually. It's one of the things I have really focused on practicing this year. And it is like magic. It's magical what our body can do. Our body is one of the most, if not the most powerful instrument for our intuition, for our divine guidance, the voice of our soul. And so the more you can embody yourself towards that new identity, the quicker you will be there more often, right? So the key is to choose it in your body, not just in your mind. It's a leaning in. It's a moment by moment choice as often as you remember. So let's say you give yourself that opportunity to just unleash what it is you're here to say, what it is that you actually want, right? What you desire. It's the thing that is so easy for you. It's the thing that you could talk about all day long until the cows come home. And it is so obvious to you that you often will discount it, thinking that's too obvious. Like everybody knows that. But the truth is not everybody knows that. Or if they do, they're not living it, right? It's the thing that makes you walk your talk. That's the embodiment. So when you think about that for yourself and you feel that message in your body, that's how you know you're embodied in it, right? It's a body feeling as much as it is a mental, like a mental knowing, but it is a full body, like down to your bones knowing. So yes, other people might know it, but they don't know it as intimately as you. And so all these experiences, these crunchy experiences that have led you to knowing even more, there's no accident there, right? It's not a coincidence, right? It's your experiences, what's the word I'm looking for? Reinforce your knowing, right? Because that's why you're here. They allow you to talk about the things that you are here to talk about in with more clarity, with more eloquence over time, sometimes messy like I'm doing, right? But those experiences where you question yourself and then you allow yourself to go off on a, you know, on a meltdown diatribe and you discover the gold, those experiences reinforce until you start to trust that you actually don't need the meltdown. You don't need the diatribe. You don't need those experiences. You can simply trust. But sometimes it takes that messy road for us to get there. So for me, right, all these experiences of me editing myself, silencing myself, and then, you know, having those diatribes, having those meltdowns and expressing and having people listen to me and respond back to me and reflect back to me, they have reinforced what I am here to talk about, right? They have reinforced to me and allowed me to walk my talk even more in my own life that the body is of pivotal importance to our intuition. This year has taught me that more than any other experience in my life. All the crappy, shitty, you know, basically February, March, April experiences of melting down, not talking about it, being silent, but deeply, deeply, deeply listening have been so educational for me to realize that this is why I do this work. This is why I have these practices in my own life. And the body is so pivotal. And so I'm just looking at my notes here. I don't want to keep repeating myself. So the body, I'm here to talk about the pivotal importance of the body to the intuition and how authentic self-expression is made up of the play of those two things, right? Your intuition is received by your body. It's not always just the mind that receives the intuition. It's the whole system. And it's not always like a auditory message or a visual message. Your body will receive your intuition in all the ways. And our job is to listen to our intuition in all the ways and work through whatever expectations we have, whatever limitations we have placed on our intuition. That becomes part of the work, right? And then for my audience, the people I am here to serve who desire that impact, that influence, the sacred fame is an outcome of their self-expression. If they are willing, as I am now willing, even more willing to play with the two, the body and the intuitive listening, right? Through the body, those two components, sacred fame becomes an outcome of that. Because when you can trust what you are here to say and who you are here to be, you know, the people you're here to serve will see you. They will hear you, as will all the others who you're not here to serve, right? And so when you start to become polarizing and when you start to become more noticed, you know you're on track, right? You know you're on track. And so sacred fame is really an outcome of authentic self-expression. And the other component for me, and this is, I work intimately with the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records are like a turbocharger for your intuition and can help you clear some of the blocks that are standing in the way of that authentic self-expression. Those blocks that we have, or sometimes we think we have them, but you know, the Akashic Records can really help pinpoint what is it, how is it that we are standing in our own way? And then what can we do to move out of our way so that we can express ourselves here, be who we're meant to be, and really keep walking towards that big mission, that big vision. So all that to say, you know, if you're finding yourself in that crunchy space, that really sandpapery space where you're pretty sure you know what it is you desire, you want to make those decisions, right? Even the inconvenient ones that really turn your life upside down or take it to a place that's not comfortable, even if you make really hard decisions, but you know that they're right for you. what's it going to take for you to believe in yourself, for you to feel safe that even though it's messy right now, if you allow the mess to show you where the golden thread of who you are is, it will. And to do that with a coach, a therapist, a healer, you know, a dear friend, whoever you feel safe with, is often easier. You will find yourself in the mess. And hearing myself say that, like, I never thought I would hear myself say that because I used to edit so much. And so I'm still not comfortable having this conversation. And I'm just being honest. It's very strange for me to be talking about this out loud, knowing that this is something I'm going to share with the world. But you will find yourself, you will reconnect to yourself in the mess. And that's mind-boggling to me. Like, it's really mind-boggling. It's kind of cool and it's mind-boggling. And I don't think we always need the mess, but when we need the mess, it's there for a purpose. And for me, it was to realize that editing myself and trying to edit the mess out doesn't serve me. Obviously not sharing like private details and all this stuff, right? You don't have to share everything. I'm certainly not. But parts of it make sense. So let me know what you think. Have you ever allowed yourself to be messy, to have a tantrum, to just express yourself with someone you trust? And what came out of that? What gold did you find as a result? Let me know in the comments. I see you next time.